In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Glory to Jesus Christ.
Glory to
God. So last Sunday, we considered practical, everyday ways to get into the boat of the church and build ourselves into a temple of God. Hearing them, it might be easy to be like a rich young ruler, and after checking them off, say to the Savior, "All these I'm doing, what do I still lack?" The Lord's answer comes back to us this morning. And it is, I think, the most difficult thing to hear, let alone to do. He says, "Each of you forgive his brother from your heart." Well, who is our brother? Listen to the Paschal hymn. Let us call brother even those who hate us. So the brother that I'm to forgive is the one who hates me. From your heart, we are to forgive our brother who hates us from our heart. And this puts the commandment of the Lord to us this morning. It puts us deep beyond all things. But for all that, it is not out of reach, because deep beyond all things is where precisely we would find ourselves if we could but find the entrance into our heart. Yet it is not possible for us to do this by ourselves, because in our heart we are dead in our sins and trespasses. And among those sins and trespasses are hatred, anger, the grudge, bitterness, and all of those nasty things. To forgive all things and to call brother even those who hate us requires a mighty act of God, because it comes from his extreme humility, even to the point of his death on the cross and his holy resurrection. And this is what is impossible for men, possible only with God. So let none of us claim to have forgiven our enemy, those who hate us and who, quite frankly, we hate. Let us not, none of us claim to have forgiven our enemy from our heart when we have not. God knows our heart, and we fool only ourselves. Yet if we could forgive our enemy from our heart, this is what would make complete and perfect the image of God in whom we were made. That image, of course, is Jesus Christ himself. He is the image of God in whom we were made. And he is himself the very principle of our nature. It is in him that we are made to be like God. And we become like God, not by imitation, for then we would still be outside of God. We would be alongside God. We would not be in God, but rather we are made like God by participation in God. For through participation in God, we are in God, and in God we are being made to become perfectly one with him. We are able to become perfectly one with God because he became flesh. And he became perfectly one with us in his death on the cross and his burial in the tomb of our heart, where we were dead in our sins and trespasses. By his death and his burial in the flesh, the Word of God incarnate penetrated all the way to the division of soul and spirit and into the thoughts and intentions of the heart. There he forgave us our sins. Let's understand what this means. The Greek word translated here to forgive means to let go, send away, or to deliver from, as from captivity. So it doesn't mean that you just pretend it's not there and act as though it's nothing. You just let it go. You don't lay claim to it. You don't hold on to it. But it means much more than that. It means to dissolve, so that it is no more. By his death and burial in the flesh, the Lord forgave us all our sins. He didn't just let them go or overlook them as if they weren't there. He didn't even just liberate us from them as he liberated Israel from their slavery in Egypt. He dissolved them. He absorbed our sins into himself, and he burned them up completely in his divinity, so that they are no more, leaving us thoroughly cleansed all the way down into our heart, deep beyond all things, restoring us back to our original beauty and raising us up a new creation into the divine life, the fire of glory of Christ's Holy Spirit in his holy resurrection, so that we in Christ are not just clean, we're not just holy and pure, but we ourselves, we become all fire, like the bush that burned and was not consumed. We become like the Theotokos. We who were gods, remember, God made us in his own image. Adam is called the son of God. He made us gods, as the psalmist says in Psalm 81. And yet we die like any prince, is what the psalmist goes on to say. We were gods, but we die like any prince. We die like any prince because of the idolatry of our disobedience. And yet we who were gods but have become dead like a corpse, we have been born again in the Spirit of Christ as children of God again. Temples of God, united to the body of Christ, the very body of Christ that has conquered death, so that we are now overshadowed by the divine glory of the holy fire of God. Well, we're not just overshadowed. We're filled with the holy fire. We eat it. We drink it in Holy Eucharist. And if we eat it and drink it reverently, prayerfully, mindfully, it works in us to burn away and to dissolve all of our sins and trespasses, every defilement of corruption of the death that clings to us. So when the Lord says to forgive your brother from your heart, he gives not only a command, he also reveals how we go about attaining to such divine perfection that we are able to forgive all things and to call brother even those who hate us. It is by denying ourselves and taking up our cross. And this is given to us in the ascetic life of the church through prayer and fasting. Through prayer and fasting, we follow Christ mystically into the tomb of our heart, there to unite ourselves to Christ in him, in the likeness of his death, so that we become perfectly one with him. St. Paul says that we are united to Christ in the likeness of his death. The likeness, I believe, is in the self-denial that I practice when, for the sake of Christ, I observe the ascetical disciplines of the church in accordance with my strength and circumstances. In that likeness, I am, to be sure, imitating Christ. I am imitating Christ when I pray and when I fast. But I am imitating Christ until I observe the ascetical disciplines mindfully, with inner attention, with the eyes and the ears of my mind fixed on Christ. This is the inner attitude of faith. By this I am working to remember Christ in the anamnesis of the church. That's translated often as to remember. But, you know, I don't think in English the translation remember quite catches the meaning of the word anamnesis. I think it'd be better translated as we're calling to mind. In other words, we are reminding ourselves. It's not like we're remembering something that happened way back when. We are calling to mind the fact, the reality that Christ is in us. The anamnesis of the church, the remembrance of the church, is to remember God in my life. It's the opposite of the forgetfulness of God, which leads finally to ignorance of God and to utter darkness. To remember God in the anamnesis of the church is to call him to my inner awareness constantly. And this is how I pass over this anamnetic remembrance, this mindful remembrance of Christ constantly. This is how I pass over from imitating Christ in the likeness of his death to participating in Christ. To participating in Christ's death in my own heart by putting to death all that's earthly in me. Now I am becoming perfectly one with Christ in his death in the tomb of my heart. For there I am working to put to death what is earthly in me by keeping my inner awareness firmly fixed on Christ. Only in that union with Christ that is from faith, in other words, from the heart, am I able even to begin to forgive all things and to call brother even those who hate me. For only in this faith of the church am I uniting myself to Christ so that it is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. Christ who is working and doing in me according to his good pleasure, which is the salvation not just of me, but of all, even the brother who hates me. For in the fire of Christ's divine love and the fire of his visceral compassion, the sin of my hatred is dissolved. It's being dissolved. And it liberates me from captivity to that which is contrary to my nature, to be full of hate and to be angry. That's not according to my nature. And so it restores me to my original beauty in the grace and the truth of the love of Christ God, the image in whom I was made to exist. This is why I do not pretend to forgive my enemy when I have not. It's impossible to forgive my enemy on my own strength, because in my own strength I am not united with God. So this is why I take up daily the assertive ascetical disciplines of prayer and fasting as my cross, to deny myself and to put to death what is earthly in me, namely my self-love, my self-will, my idolatry, that I may unite myself to Christ, that I may become perfectly one with him in his death on the cross, and so become perfectly one with him in his holy resurrection. Perfectly like him, because I now live and move and have my being in the image of God, who is Christ, my Lord and Savior. This is the mind that was also in Christ Jesus, this mind of self-denial. It is the mind that prevents the doing of the church's asceticism from becoming a facade of self-righteousness. At the same time, in that these ascetic disciplines engage me in my body and in my soul, they enable me precisely by their physicality, because there's a unity between my body and soul. The two are connected. You can't do one without influencing the other. So when I lay hold of the physical part, the physical fast, precisely in its physicality, it enables me to lay hold of my will, and to subject my will in obedience to Christ by doing these disciplines of the church according to my strength and my circumstances. And when I do these ascetic disciplines of the church, Christ himself, who is in these ascetic disciplines, I mean, these are part of his body, you understand. He's in these ascetic disciplines. So when I do them, I'm touching him. I'm laying hold of him. And so when I do them mindfully, not in self-righteousness, but in self-emptying, self-denial, when I do them prayerfully, it is Christ himself who is leading me through these ascetical disciplines of his cross. He is leading me into the tomb of my heart. And as I put to death what is earthly in me, by the instrument of the cross, the prayer, the fasting, the ascetical disciplines of the church, Christ himself transfigures the tomb of my heart into the bridal chamber of his holy resurrection in the glory of his Holy Spirit. Again, let me offer practical ways that we can work to keep constant remembrance of Christ when we are in the world. And whatsoever you do, as St. Paul says, do it all to the glory of Christ. Conduct yourself with grace and truth, treating others with respect and kindness, even those who abuse you, insult you. Do not return evil for evil. Keep the days and the seasons of the church's fasts and observe her feasts. Structure your life on the foundation of the church's liturgical cycle, because then you're founding your daily life on the prayer of the church, which is filled with Christ's Holy Spirit. Read Holy Scripture. Read it slowly, attentively, thoughtfully. Guard your thoughts. Guard your tongue. Be honest. When reviled or insulted or slighted, if you can't bless, at least don't return evil for evil. Fight the temptation. Don't give in to anger. And don't let yourself rest in a grudge. Even if you can't forgive from the heart, even so, pray for your enemy, even if it's through clenched teeth. That is a small way to deny yourself and to do what God commands, not to do what you want to do in your anger. Treat your enemy with dignity, with respect, honesty, nobility, humility. This is to keep the inner unseen part of our fast in the mind of Christ. This too is a real denial for the sake of Christ. It keeps us actively trained on Christ in our inner man. It makes the sin done against us into another stepping stone that leads into the tomb of our heart, where we will find Christ in the glory of his holy resurrection. And so there are saints who actually thank God for those who persecute them, because it led them into the tomb of their heart to find Christ. When we are clothed in that glory of Christ's holy resurrection, that is when we are able to forgive all things from our heart and to call even those who hate us brother. May God help us. Most holy Theotokos, save us. Glory to Jesus Christ.